Hey, girls. I already said a bracha, so I don't want you to think I'm that crumb. You never know with this crap. I'm going to start off with an introduction, which I think I've started off almost every single year, except for the first year that I spoke. And I'm going to ask Mechila before I start. I'm going to ask Mechila from Shana Bet, from the alumni, and from anybody recording, because there's nothing new that I'm going to say. And I've spoken I don't know how many years, and there's nothing new I'm going to say. I'm going to ask Mechila from anybody that's listening, in case I say something that might insult somebody. You have to understand that I grew up in Brooklyn, and therefore I might be a little bit blunter than most people. And I ask Mechila, as I do every year, for even speaking to you pre-Yom Kippur. Mi ani uma ani, who am I to speak to anybody about doing tshuva? And I say that in a very serious way. I'm nobody. I have my own issues, I have my own problems, I have my own averas, I have my own issues with tshuva, and therefore, who am I to speak to anybody else about it? And every year I come here, I say the same thing, and every year I say yes, because Rabbi Turetsky very nicely asked me, and it's hard for me to say no to him because he's such a nice rabbi in person. So what I will do is, as I do every year, I'll speak to myself. You're more than invited to listen in. As we get closer to Yom Kippur, I particularly am very scared. It's something that happens to me every single year. And the closer we get, the worse it gets. Some of you might feel the same level of anxiety. Now, some of you are feeling that level of anxiety about Yom Kippur for various different reasons. Some of you are worried about your accommodations on Yom Kippur. It's a reality. You don't know where you're going to be. You're not going to be in the dorm. You're going to be in a high school, sleep on the floor, this, that, air conditioning, yes, no. I will tell you this. I'm not worried about that because I'm sleeping in my house. But I will tell you, do not worry about it. It's one day of your life. You will be okay. It will work. It'll either be good or it will be bad. In 25 hours, it will be done. And then you don't have to worry about it. Some of you are worried about the long davening, and it's causing a little bit of anxiety. It's going to be all day. You're going to have an hour break. I don't know. You know, I don't know how much of a break I have. It's a very long day of davening. It starts early in the morning, it ends late, and it's just a continuous thing. I'll give you a piece of advice. It's something people have anxiety about. Bring a book. Not a novel. Bring a book. Something, a sefer, a book, something that you're interested in, something that's meaningful, something that inspires. I'll give you an example. For those people that have sfarim, use sfarim. For those people that don't, that's not going to do it for you on Yom Kippur because you're fasting and your head's not there. There's a great book. It's called Adjusting Sights. It's by Rav Sabato. It's about the Yom Kippur War. It's one of the most inspiring books at this point in time that you can read. Bring that book in English. And when you feel like it's too much, read the book. It's okay. They're not used to davening all day. They weren't used to it in the Beis HaMikdash either. In fact, they didn't daven all day in the Beis HaMikdash. They watch the Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash. Some of you are nervous about fasting. Am I going to be able to do it or not? It's very hot. I have anxiety about it. I'm nervous about it. Okay. If you have a Shiloh, ask Rav Goldsmith. Ask one of the teachers. Can I lay down in the middle? Some of you are used to basically, like in the middle of the day after Musaf, going, resting, getting up from the Ne'ilah, davening Mincha, whatever the case might be. Work it out. It'll work out. You'll make it. It's something to be nervous about, but you'll make it. For me, it's different. Right before Yom Kippur, I have a sense of panic. My sense of panic is not about accommodations, it's not about fasting, it's not about davening, it's not about kavana. My sense of panic is not about fear of punishment. And I say this honestly. Halavai, I would be frum enough to fear the punishment of God for things that I've done. It's not about that. I'm not that frum. Halavai, my anxiety and my fear would be about meeting a Kadosh Baruch Hu man to man, as they say, Lifnei Hashem Titaru, that I'm going to be purified in front of God and I'm going to meet God this day alone, facing Him by myself. Halavai, that would be me. I wish I was that from. I'll tell you what my panic is about. My panic is about the fact that an opportunity is going to be given to me on Yom Kippur, and I'm going to take that opportunity like I do every single year, and I'm going to mess it up. And instead of doing something new, it's going to be the same old, same old. Instead of doing something different, my Yom Kippur and my year is going to be the same as it was last year. My fear and my panic is that I'm going to go through the motions once again, but I'm going to get nowhere. I'm going to say the right things and the right words, and I will end up back in the same point. Dershu Hashem behimatz ol kira'uhu beyot ol karov. Call out to God when He is close to you. Chazal say, when is a Kadosh Baruch Hu close to you? He's close to you during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, during Rosh Hashanah, now, and during Yom Kippur. And what does it mean? It means that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for us, girls. It means that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is reaching out His hand. It means that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has ordained that this is the time for change. That this is the time for tshuva. That this is the zero hour. Right now, we're in the middle of it now. And my panic is that once again, another year goes by and I miss that opportunity. And I want you to know something. I, like you, will go to shul. And I, like you, or maybe most of you, will say everything in that machzer. In fact, I say a lot more than that's in my machzer. So when I do vidui, sometimes I do the extra vidui that's in the machzer. And I will go just like you. Ashamnu, bagadnu, gazalnu, al chet shechatanu lefanecha, al chet shechatanu lefanecha, al chet shechatanu lefanecha. And I ask myself every year, is this really what tshuva is? The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, what's tshuva? We all know this because we all learned it. What's tshuva? Tshuva is vidui, charata, kabbalah la'ati. Correct? Everybody knows that. Vidui, what do I have to do? I confess my sins. Charata is I feel bad about them. And kabbalah la'ati is I accept upon myself what? Not to do them in the future. And I ask myself every year, even though the Rambam Paskins like it, is this what tshuva really is about? So I go to the source for tshuva. It's in Parashat Nitzavim, Perek Lamed of Sefer Dvarim. And it says the following. Ki ha-mitzvah hazot asher anochi mitzavcha hayom lo nifleiti mimcha v'lo rechoka mimi. This mitzvah, according to not every opinion, the mitzvah of tshuva which I'm commanding you, what? It's not far away from you. Lo b'shamayim, it's not in the heavens. Lemor mi yaleh lanu ha-shamayim v'yikachel. Who's going to go up there in heaven and take it down? V'yashminu ata v'nasena. Who's going to make it heard that we'll do it? V'lo me'evro layam, it's not on the other side of the ocean.
L'mor miyavor lanu el eivar hayam v'yikachel lanu v'yashvinu otam v'nasena. Who's going to go get it from the other side of the ocean? Ki karov eilecha davar me'od b'ficha u'b'lvavcha la'asoto. It's close to you, it's in your mouth, and it's in your heart to do. If all you needed was vidui, charata, and kabbalah la'atid, what's the big deal? What is Moses so worried about? It's not in the heaven. Ready? We can all do it now. Ready? I don't want you to say it out loud, but think of some avera that you've done in your lifetime, and now, really, go through the process. Ready? In your mind, confess. Everybody did that? Now basically feel bad. We can all feel bad about something we've done. You got it? And now let's accept upon ourselves in the future not to do it again. Did we all do that? Did it feel like it was far away from you? Did somebody have to go across the sea to get it? And the answer is what? No. So what's the big deal? And then you get the Yerushalmi, and this is great. The Yerushalmi says like this, Shalul Chachma Chotema Oncho. They asked Chachma, whatever that means, what is the punishment for a Chote? Amra Lahem Chataim Tirdofra. Chataim will get evil. Evil will follow them. Shalul Nevoa Chotema Oncho. They asked prophecy, whatever that means, Ma Oncho. What's the punishment for a Chote? Amra Lahem. Hanefesh ha-choteit, hi tamut. The soul that sins will die. You go through Shaul, Kodcha Brichu, Chotem Mao Oncho. They ask God, what's the punishment for a chote? Amra lahem yaset tshuva v'yidkaper lo. Do tshuva. Chachma didn't get the idea that they're supposed to do tshuva. Nevua couldn't get it. This whole great thing about basically vidui and charata and kabbalah latin, only God got it. And what's the big deal? It seems like, what is it? It's relatively simple. I could do it in 15 minutes and go back to my bed. Okay, maybe because I'm a little bit worse off than you, take me a little bit more time than 15 minutes to go through all my averos. Okay, you're tzaddikim and I'm not. Half hour, an hour, and I'm done. What's the big deal? Why is the whole thing a big deal? My answer is very simple. Because vidui, charata, and kabbalah la'atid are all the mechanics of what you have to do. But it ain't real tshuva. You did everything right, but you did everything wrong. Because if all you did is say, and all you did is say, God, I did a bad thing. I'm really, really sorry about it. And I want you to know I'll never do it again. You did what the Rambam required you. But you didn't do tshuva. You said words. You banged on your chest. Every year I say the same thing. My Rosh Yeshiva, the original Rosh Yeshiva of Shalvim, used to make a joke. He said, you know, you see a frum guy in shul and he goes like this. And if you see a really frum guy in shul, he goes like this. Right? Every year I say the same joke and it sounds funny, but what do we do? That's what we do all Yom Kippur. Is that what tshuva is about? So why am I so worried about it? You just did it in your head now. You're done. And the really real issue, that's not tshuva. That's the mechanics of tshuva, but it's not tshuva. What's the goal of tshuva? It's in the root of the word. The root is lashuv. The goal is not to confess. That's Christianity. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been 3 weeks since my last confession. That's Christianity. We don't believe in that. Tshuva is lashuv. It's to return. Girls, what are you returning to? What are you returning to? So everybody's going to say, you're returning to Hashem. I don't know what that means. I don't know where I was in comparison to Hashem, since Hashem is basically not a physical being. What is Lashuv? Lashuv and tshuva means you return to yourself. And it's the same thing I talk about every single year. And it's the same panic I have. That this year I won't again return to myself. I won't become myself. That's what tshuva is. Girls, tshuva is returning to ourselves. And I'll prove it to you from the Rambam. And the Rambam writes the following thing when he talks about tshuva in a different siman, in a different halacha. He says the following: Midarkei atshuva liyot hashav tzoeg tamid lifnei Hashem bebchi ubetachanunim. From the derech of tshuva, it's that the person that does tshuva should constantly be crying out to God. Otzet staka. You distance yourself. And then what does he say? He changes his name. Chomar Acher. Ani Acher. Ve'eni Otoa Ish. Sha'asa Otoa Masim. What's real tshuva, girls? You change your name so that you're able to say, I am no longer the person that did the chait. If you're no longer the person that did the chait, who are you? Who are you if you're no longer the person? What? Now all of a sudden you can pick your name? I'd like to be Bob today. I do tshuva. Hi, I'm Bob. No longer Rabbi Nepal. Call me Rabbi Bob. Is that what the Rambam means? We all go around, we pick, I'd like to be Cinderella. I always wanted to be a princess. That's what we're talking about, Mishana Shmo? No, girls. That's not what we're talking about. And I'll explain what we're talking about based on one person in the Talmud who you all know. Girls, who's the greatest heretic in the entire Talmud? What? Acher. Is that his name? No, who is Acher? His name is Elisha ben Avuya. That's who he is! You know why they call him Acher? Because when he became a heretic, what did he become? Not Elisha ben Avuya. He became Acher. He became somebody different. When he sinned, he lost who he was. He lost himself. He was no longer himself. And if he does tshuva, who does he become now? He comes back to Elisha ben Avuya. What does the Rama mean? And I'm not the same person, I'm Shana Shmo. It means that you become yourself again. You return to yourself. You return to who you should be. When you did the chait, you lost your direction. And now you're somebody different. So it's easy. Here goes. Here's the slogan. Put it on a thing, put it on the back of your car. Just be yourself. Wonderful. Right? Just be yourself. Should be really easy, right? I know myself. Should be simple. And I ask myself, really easy? Do I really know who I am? Do I really know who I am? I've lived 18 years. I've lived as many years as I've lived. Do I know who I am at this point in time in my life? Do I know what my potential is? Do I know what I should be? Do I look at myself honestly when I look in that mirror? Do I really look at myself honestly? Or do I lie about who and what I am? Is it so easy to figure out the return to self? That's an interesting question. I think most of us in this room, and I'm sorry for saying it, and I ask Mechila, and I don't know any of you personally, I would say close to 100% of the people in this room do not know who they are. And do not know what they are. And do not know what they can be. And I'm going to go through some of the reasons why we don't return to ourselves. Why it's so difficult to change back into ourselves, to be Mishana Shmo, not in the direction that Rabbi Nepal is Rabbi Bob, why Rabbi Nepel has difficulty being Rabbi Nepel. Number one, to return to myself, to actually really change, requires taking responsibility. Here's a story. I'm sorry for saying it in mixed company. It's not exactly from a story. It's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Elazar ben Dordai. Amru alav al Rabbi Elazar ben Dordai shelo imiach zona echad ba'olam shelo ba'ala. I apologize for the non-fromness of the story. It's not me. It's a Gemara. Rabbi Elazar ben Dordai basically was somebody who went to every single prostitute in the world. Pam echad shamashi zona echad bikarche ayam v'aitano telet kis dinar v'schara. He once heard of the most exotic, expensive prostitute in the island. So what did he do? She was so expensive. Natal kis dinarim v'alach v'avar leva shiva narot. He worked to get to this prostitute. Like, basically, I have to see her. B'shatar gel davar yificha. Amra, k'shem she'yificha zo eina chuzer ben koma. Kach Elazar ben Dordai e mekablin oto b'tshuva. Girls, I'm sorry for the story. In the middle of their intimate act, Rav Elazar ben Dordai passed gas. I know it's a weird story. The prostitute said to him, just like the gas won't come back into you, you will never ever basically be mekabel b'tshuva. You can't go back to being you anymore. In the middle of having this act with a prostitute, the prostitute was giving mussar to Rav Elazar ben Dordai. You won't see that in your standard copy of Mesilat Yesharim. Rav Elazar ben Dordai is so taken aback by this. Halach v'yashab ben shnei arim v'gvaot. He sat in between two mountains and a valley. Amar arim v'gvaot bakshu alai rachamim. He said to the mountains and the valley, request mercy from me for God. Amru lo, ad shanu mevakshim alecha nevakesh al atzmenu. We're not going to ask for you. If anything, we'll ask for ourselves. He then basically said, Shamayim al aretz, bakshu alai rachamim. Heaven and earth, request mercy for me so that God will accept me and accept my tshuva. Amru. We're not going to ask for you. If anything, we're going to ask for us. He goes to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. He says, please ask God to have mercy on me. Everything he asked said, we're not going to ask for you, we're going to ask for yourselves. In the end of the story, Amar, Ein Hadavar Talui Elabi. At the end of the story, Rav Elazar ben Dordai realized that what? Nobody is going to help him. And he realized the only person that can take responsibility is he has to take responsibility for himself. Girls, why don't we change? Why don't we go back to ourselves? Because in order to do that, I have to take responsibility for myself. Maybe that's why the pasuk says, Lo bashamayim hi. It's not in the heavens. It's not over the yam. It's you that has to take responsibility. Nobody's going to do it for you. You want to change? Nobody's going to do it, girls. I want you to know something. I teach in a lot of Year in Israel programs. And so often I hear from girls the following thing. I want to be inspired. I want somebody to inspire me. I want somebody to change me. I want somebody to teach me. I want somebody to click me. I want somebody else to do it. I'm here to tell you, nobody's going to do it, girls. Nobody's going to do it. You have to take responsibility for your spiritual life. You have to take responsibility for your tshuva. Up until now, girls, you could blame anybody you want for why you don't have the right skills. You can blame anybody you want for why you don't know enough. You can blame anybody you want who didn't explain halacha. It was my school's fault. It was my parents' fault. It was my community's fault. It was my shul's fault. This is the first year in your life. There's only one person to blame if you don't do it. And you know who that person is? It's not the school. Yeah, but it is the school. No, it's not. It's not your classes. It's not your school. It's not the base. It's not your air conditioner. It's not the food. If you don't do it this year, you know whose fault it is? It's your fault. Because this is the first year that your spiritual responsibility is yours and yours alone. You're going to make yourself or you're going to break yourself. And you need to take that responsibility in your hand and realize that if I'm going to change, if I'm going to become who I'm supposed to be, if I'm going to become the best I can be, I need to take responsibility myself. Which means don't tell me I would love to learn extra hours in the base, but nobody else is there. Yes, nobody else is there. It doesn't mean they lock the door. You can still be up and nobody's there. Yes, but you could still be there. You're not worried about getting mugged. Trust me, nobody's mugging you in this building. But it's scary downstairs. So learn in the classroom. But it's scary in the classroom. Get a life. You're not in a subway in Manhattan. But I would really, really like to do all these things, but I can't do them. Yes, you can. But I can't. Yes, you can. You have to take responsibility for yourself. It's in your hands now. Why don't people change? Why don't people become themselves? Because they're so used to blaming everybody else that they don't look at who? Perpetrator number one, which is themselves. You want to become yourself? Take responsibility for yourself. Number two, change is uncomfortable. To change, to become really you, to get back to who you are, to basically become who you're supposed to be, to change that way, it's uncomfortable. Let me explain what that means. For many of us, we live a comfortable life in who and what we are. Thank God. People have told us we're great. I sit here basically in Shalvim for Women, and if I counted the amount of times somebody told you you were special because you're in Shalvim for Women, basically, and I got a, I would say a nickel, but I don't think those exist in America anymore. I got a shekel, basically. That would be perfect. I could retire at the end of the year. We're Shalvim for Women. We're Shalvim for Women. We're Shalvim for Women. I'm comfortable being Shalvim for Women. It's great. I'm great. Comfortable. It's top of my class, top of this, top of that. And now I'm great. And to change means it's a little bit more uncomfortable than that. I say this every year. When I was an assistant principal in a school, I had a unique educational opportunity to spend a summer in Harvard at the Principal Center. And I went there and they brought in, it was the most fantastic program, educational program I've ever been on. And they brought in speakers from all over the world to speak to about 160 principals from all over the world. I had like a Palestinian principal in my processing group. And it was an amazing educational experience. And one guy they brought in was a little short guy. His name is Ben Bissell. Ben Bissell, I remember to this day what he looked like. I remember what he spoke about. He spoke about the concept of change. That's it. That's what he did for a living. He went to Fortune 500 companies, the 500 biggest companies in the world, and he talked to the people in charge about change. And he explained, one of the things that panic people the most is change. It makes them feel uncomfortable. His message to us was, as future leaders in school, if we're going to change something in the staff or in the school, people will feel uncomfortable, and we have to be aware of that and try to make them comfortable. Change makes us feel uncomfortable. And I'll give you the story which I say every year. I don't even think this is a medrash. There were these rebbeim from Shalvim and these rebbeim from, let's call it, a druggy yeshiva. I won't give the name, although I know the name of the place. Let's call it a druggy yeshiva. I don't know what that means, but let's assume for a second what it means. And they were sitting around and they were friendly and they were talking. And the Rebbe from the druggy yeshiva said to the Rebbe from the Rebbe's from Shalvim, "Boy, I don't envy you your job. Your job is so tough." And the Rebbe from Shalvim
look at the Rebbe from the drug yeshiva and say, what are you talking about? Our job is so tough. When we interview a guy, he basically has to know how to learn Gemara and Rishonim before he gets in. When he comes to Shalvim, he knows that this is a two-year program, and if Chas V'Shalom he can't, he'll only spend 1 year here. You don't know if your Talmidim are going to be alive the next day, because he might have OD'd someplace in Crack Square. So how can you say our job is so difficult? And the Rebbe from the drug yeshiva looked at the Rebbe from Shalvim and he said, you're right about that, but you don't understand something. See, your guys are so set on life. They know they were the top of their class in high school, then they're going to Shalvim or KBY or Gush, and then after that they're going to spend 2 years there, they're going to go to college, then they're going to go to graduate school, then they're going to grow up and live in Teaneck or five towns. Basically, their life is set. So if you try to change their life, you can't, because they're so comfortable with the way they're going, it's impossible to change. My guys don't know what they're doing in 15 minutes from now. Their life is so unset. You're right. Most of them, forget about it. We don't know if they're going to be... But those guys that want to change, oh my God, they'll change their lives totally. And the fact is that what? The second reason is change is uncomfortable. When our lives are so set, we don't like to change, because it's easy for us to keep doing the same thing. Third, change, returning to yourself, becoming who you could be, can hurt. What do I mean it can hurt? It can hurt in two ways. Because right now, you're on good terms with your friends. Right now, you're on good terms with your family. Right now, you're on good terms with everybody. You left a month ago, you're here, nothing real has happened. But you know, the minute, for some of you, you start to take things seriously, you know you're going to start getting the comments. Oh boy, you're going to get the comments. And you know when you come off that plane in Pesach, everybody's looking at you, and everybody's judging you. And I don't want to be judged like that. I don't want to be the frummy. I remember when I came home from my year in Israel, I got a new name. It was Tzadik. It was not meant as a compliment. Oh, the tzaddik wants to do this. Oh, the tzaddik wants to do that. All I wanted to do was just basically follow halacha, but all of a sudden by following halacha, I basically became a tzaddik. And it hurts. And therefore, I don't want to have to go through that. And therefore what? Okay, so I won't live up to my potential, but at least I won't have to deal with my hurt. It's just too darn difficult. And what am I going to do when I go back home and maybe I have to say something to somebody about something that may be possibly, potentially not right? And therefore what? I'd rather not do it. I'd rather not do it. It's just too darn difficult. And maybe I'm going out with somebody at this moment and maybe it's not a good idea. And maybe if I change, I might have to change the status on my Facebook page about that. And I don't want to do that because that's too darn difficult. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stay the way I am. Once again, another opportunity is lost to become who you're supposed to be. But there's another way that it can hurt. Another way it can hurt, basically, is as follows. In order to become who you want to be, in order to change, in order to return yourself, in order to do real tshuva, not just mouth and words, you're going to have to take a really deep look into yourself. You're going to have to really look deep. You're going to have to look at not only the good things in you, what are you going to have to look at? You're going to have to look at some of the nasty things in you. And you're going to have to see, is this the real me or not? Is this who I'm supposed to be? What do I mean by that? So I can't say this because I don't know you, and I'm not saying this to anybody here. I look deep inside me. Do I really treat everybody appropriately? Do I really do that? Look deep inside. Do I do that? Am I careful how I treat every single individual? Or is it only I treat the people that I like, they call me nice. But I don't even realize how not nice I am to certain people. Or how I exclude certain people. Because basically that's part of me. I have to look deep inside. And I have to look deep inside why I'm not doing certain things within the religion. Is it like basically I don't know about them, or is it because basically I don't want to do them? I have to look at all my midos and see what they're like. I have to look at my kibbutz av ha'eim and see what's going on there. It's hard, girls, and it hurts sometimes to look deep inside. But the only way you can become yourself is if you know yourself. And the only way you know yourself is not only if you see the surface, but you know the depth. And I'm going to tell you a story. It's a funny story, but I know it's true because it happened to me. I worked in the Syrian community, and I was invited as a rabbi to go to a Shabbaton. Most of the Shabbaton was not my kids. I know. I knew very few kids. They were kids from a different community, Syrian kids from a different community. But basically, I was invited because I was a rabbi in the community. Friday night, I was supposed to give a session, a discussion group. And I don't know most of the kids there. Just finished dinner. And they tell me I'm in session group whatever. They always make up funny names for these discussion groups. So I said, okay, where is it? And I start walking down the hall. And I see at the end of the hall these kids who are beyond the belief wild. They are jumping all over the place. They are uncontrollable. And as I walk very slowly, I keep saying to myself the following: I hope I don't get these kids. 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 Of course, when I look at my card and I look at the door that these kids are in, what I get? I got these kids. So I go into the session room, and these kids are bouncing off the walls. They won't listen to me. They won't listen to the advisors. And I'm a good sport. I try to start. I try to do my job. I try to talk about the topic that we're going to discuss. I try for 45 minutes, and I get nowhere. They couldn't care less than I was there. So I give up. I look at the kids, and I say, you won. But before I leave, I want to tell each and every one of you what I think about you. And I looked around the room and I said, you, you're obnoxious. You, you're arrogant. You, your mother would be ashamed of you. You, and I went through each one and told him exactly. I told him from Brooklyn. I'm really blunt. I told him exactly what I thought about each and every one of them. Their mouths dropped open. The advisors were going, and I was looking at all of them, and nobody had ever told them the way they behaved. And I looked at them and I said, listen, I want you to know something. This is what I think about you. I really don't think this is who you are. I think that really you're probably deep down really nice people, but if you keep acting this way, then nobody's going to think that, and eventually you're going to become arrogant and awful and horrible and Miss Babe, that's who you're going to be. So I wish you luck in life, and I hope one day you take a deep look inside. Have a good Shabbos, goodbye. And I walked straight out of the room and didn't turn back. Now the point of the session was looking deep inside yourself. And I accomplished the goal in the basic 4.2 minutes that at the end of the thing. It hurt them to look inside. That's why they stopped talking. Because they realized that what on the inside, it wasn't like the coolness they had on the outside. Girls, why don't we change? Why don't we become ourselves? Why don't we return to ourselves? Because sometimes when we look at ourselves, it hurts. And if you're going to give in to that hurt, guess what? You'll never become who you can be. You'll be acher. I have a few more. And here's the fourth reason. The fourth reason why we don't become who we should be, why we don't return to ourselves, and why we don't change, is because we think we will not succeed. We think we can't do it. I can't change. It's almost like me. Somebody tells me, go on a diet. I go, okay, that's not happening. I can't do it. It's not that I like food, it's that food keeps me up throughout the day. I can't. If you let me nap, not work, maybe I could. But I can't. I like snacks. That's it. Done. Then they say, do exercise. I say to them, I would do exercise, except for sweating, exerting, possible stretching, maybe go back to the exerting and sweating. I would do exercise. If you could take away, I can't do it.
What do you want me to do? Drop dead? Every year I run a camp with another rabbi, and basically he makes me play basketball against the campers. I look at him every year and I go, no. First of all, first thing I ask basically is, do you have the number for the emergency services in your phone? Just in case. Of course, it works out that every year I play with him, I get a sports injury. I keep trying to tell him, no playing, no sports injury. Playing, sports injury. What's the intelligent thing to do? Never works. You think you can't succeed. So many people think, I can't change. I can't be different. This is the way people see me as. It's too hard to change. I can't do it. I won't do it. It just won't work. Girls, if that's your attitude, you will never, ever become what you're supposed to be. You will never become yourself. You will never change. You will never do real tshuva. You'll say the words. It's not true that you can't do it. And I'll give you the example. It's a halacha. I mention it every year. Anybody know the halacha? What are you not supposed to eat this week? Nuts. Stop with gematrias and zoars. What are you not supposed to eat this week? Parakum. What's parakum? Any baked product that's baked by who? A non-Jew. Now there is a chumra not to eat parakum. Some people have it. So my daughter just asked me this week and said to me, Abba, I don't get it. Why can't we eat parakum? What are we doing? Sketching God. Hey God, look at me, I'm from. Look, I got tzitzis, I'm from. Right? I'm really from. Is that what it is? Is that why we don't eat parakum? Hey God, I'm from. So I told my daughter, and I'll tell you this as well. That's not what it is. We know you're not going to do panakum. You're not going to follow chumra panakum afterwards. We know you get a few boxes of Entenmann's donuts in here. Trust me, nobody's being so from. It's gone, right? So the reality is, why do we do it? Because we're not showing God we're from. What are we showing? We're showing ourselves that if we want, what can we do? We can change. If we want, we can change for a week. It's only a week. It's trial. If you want, you can change. Why do you say Kol Nidre, Erev Yom Kippur? At the night of Yom Kippur, why do you say Kol Nidre? Anybody know? Kol Nidre Besar. What is it about? What's Kol Nidre, girls? You do it every year. You know the tune. You probably do better than the Chazan, some of you. Why? It's all about what? Nidarim. What are Nidarim, girls? Promises. I always wondered, why Kol Nidre? Anybody know? Is that the worst avera you can ever do? You didn't fulfill your promise? In fact, it's ridiculous. Why? Because what did you just do a few days ago? Hataras Nidarim. So why do I do Kol Nidre? Girls, Kol Nidre is a symbol. What's the symbol? You're not bringing any of your old pekalach. A pekalach? You're not bringing any of your packages in with you into the new year. You're starting the new year how? Clean. Without anything bringing you down. You can change. You can succeed. You don't have to look at everything else. This is where I come from. This is my family. This is my way. This is how I have to. This is what everybody perceives me. No. Kol Nidre says no. You want to succeed, you can succeed. It's up to you. And this is the last reason why I think people don't change. Girls, people don't change. People don't become who they can become. People don't do tshuva in its real sense because you don't understand what you can be. How do I get back to myself when I do what? How do I get back to my real self when I understand what? My real self. If I don't understand my real self, girls, what happens? I just change my fake self for what? Another fake self. If I never look deep enough, if I don't understand who and what I can be, I'll never become who and what I can be. I'll just be a farce again. A different farce this time. I'll give you an example. SFW, Shalvim for Women. Great girls, right? Fantastic. Put another shekel in my box, right?
fantastic girl. They come to class on time. They leave class on time. They all do Berakat HaMazon. They sing at Mishmar songs. I got a rash down my back because I can't take the singing. Okay, whatever. Those people that know why. They take notes. They're always polite. The great Shabbos guests. Girls, is that all you are? Top students with good mitos. Is that it? Is that what you are? That's the definition. That's what you are. I'm a top student, good in class, good mitos, come on time, great. Is that all you are? That's what you are. If that's what all you think you can are, you don't understand yourself and what you can be. If you don't understand what you can be, you'll never get to what you can be. Do you think that at 18 or 19 year old, you plateaued? Look at me. I'm at the top of my game. I go to class, I have good mitos, I do what I'm told, and I'm great Shabbos guest. Are you plateaued? That's it? You're like a sports player, you hit the top of your game? If you never ever look at what you have inside of you, you will never become what you have inside of you. So let's take a look at what you have inside of you. Girls, who are you? Do you know who you are? Do you know what you are? No. Do you ever hear the phrase, Banim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem? Do you know what that means? What does it mean, girls? Banim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem. What does it mean? It means that a Kaddish Baruch Hu looks at you like you're his daughter. Do you know what it means to have a daughter? Hopefully not. Do you know what it means to have a daughter? What's the most important thing in a father's eyes? What? His daughter. What does every parent care for more than anything else, more than their own life? What? Their daughter. Do you understand when HaKadosh Baruch Hu called you Banim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem, what he was saying that you are? You're not a normal person on the street. You're something different. You have the closest relationship a human being can have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you want it, the potential is there. You have to want that. But if you don't want it, you just want to be normal, great. You're Rabbi Bob. Switch your name with, instead of Ariella, now you're Rabbi Bob. You switch one farce with another farce. Do you understand what you could be? You know, I saw on the sheets Rabbi Goldsmith gave a shir klali. So he quoted the Rav on Shlichus, correct? See, I look at some things that are on the thing. Quoted the Rav on Shlichus, and then he quoted Rav Kook. Rav Kook was on the top of the thing. What was it? At the end of davening on Yom Kippur, on Yishmona Esrei, you add something in Elokai Nitzor. Anybody remember the Shir Klali? I know Rabbi Goldsmith is here, so everybody shake your head yes. Even if you don't, it'll make him feel good. Good. See, you listen to instruction. Good Shalvim girl. So what happens? Elokai Ad Shelo Notzarti Eini Kedai V'Achshav Shenotzarti Kilo no notzarti. How did Rav Kook explain it? Somebody raise your hand. How did Rav Kook explain it? You remember? You all remember. You don't want to beat out anybody. Goldsmith in the room. So therefore what? I'll tell you what it meant. Rav Kook explains, Elokai ad shelo notzarti eini kedai. He says the following. I was created now. Why? Because God wanted me here now. He didn't want me here 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 150 years ago, 1,000 years ago. Elokai ad shelo notarti eini kedai. I was created now because God needed me here. Now. He needed me. Or else he wouldn't have created me now. Do you understand what that means, girls? It means that God needs you here now. It means that every single girl that's alive in this room, and I'm wondering about some of you. Every single girl that's alive in this room now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted you born now, not any other time in history. It means that every single girl that's born here now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan for you, has something he wants you to accomplish. Well, if I look at myself that way, then I see that maybe I can be something besides somebody who comes to class on time, has great mitos, and makes a great Shabbos guest. Because the Kaddish Baruch wanted me here now. There's something I have to accomplish. What it is, I can't tell you. You have to look deep inside. You have to figure it out yourself. Or you can ignore it and you can be Rabbi Bob. That's up to you.
But if you want to be yourself, you have to figure out what it is. Achshav shenotzarti, kilo no notzarti. And that's the tshuva aspect of it. You say to God, now that I was created, you wanted me to do a purpose in this world, right now. And me, I'm not doing it. It's as if I wasn't created. Girls, I'm going to ask you the following thing. And this I learned many years ago. What's the last thing you asked forgiveness for on Yom Kippur and Ni'ilah? Anybody know? Anybody know? If you were to pick the last thing to ask Tshuva for, what would it be? What would it be? Anybody? Not your own personal Aveira. If you had to get a category, what would it be? Yeah?
What you're going to do in the future.
Okay, we'll get to that in a second. Avodah Zarah, Metzicha, Lashon Hara, hanging out with boy. I don't know what it would be. You know what it is? The last thing, the gates are closing. Ninth inning. 3-2 count. Bases loaded. You're down by a few runs. Two outs. You know what the last thing you asked for before those gates slam closed? God, v'nechtal me'oshek yadeno. God, I want to stop. Please help me stop. Oshek yadeno. You know what oshek yadeno is? Anybody? You say it every year. Girls, actually look at the words you say. What's oshek yadeno? God, I ask forgiveness. Please help me stop stealing. And it bothered me all the time. Because I don't know about you. You're all tzidkaniot ador. I got it. Me, I'm not such a good person. But I can tell you I've done a lot worse things than what? Than steal. I'm not going to tell you what they are. But I've done a lot of things that I need to do tshuva for. Stealing is not the top one. How could it be that the last thing you're asking before the gates are closed is Oshek Yadeinu? So Rabbi left. And then I heard it again from Rav Tabori many years ago. He said the following beautiful idea. It's not talking about stealing money. That's not the last thing you ask Slicha for. No, no, no. It's about stealing what a Kaddish Baruch Hu put in you. It's about stealing the abilities that God gave you. And not only don't you use it for the purpose that He gave it to you for, but what do? I take it and I use it against God. And I'm asking forgiveness from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Please help me stop stealing from you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not money, not stuff, not make eating food without a bracha. Stop me from taking the abilities, the specialness that you put into me. Taking the reason why you created me in this world at this point in time, taking it and throwing it back in your face. Girls, do you understand what that means? It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you something special that He wants you to use. And He wants you to use it. Girls, unless you investigate and find out what that is, and find out why you're here, and find out what you're supposed to be doing, and find out the greatness that's in you, not the greatness because you go to class and you have good meetings and you're top of the class. No. Finding out the real greatness that's in you, you can never be yourself. Because yourself is that greatness. That's why you were born. That was your purpose in the world. So what do we do? And this I'm going to try to be quick, and I'm sorry, Rabbi Goldsmith, that I went a little bit longer. I'm going to give you six things that you can do. And I'll go through them fast. I'm going to give you the most important word in your year in Israel. Think. Think about yourselves, girls. Think deeply about yourself. Not like, you know, like high school thinking about yourself. You know, does he love me? Does he not love me? Not love me. Think deeply about who and what you are. Take time. The Bali Musar always took time and put it in their schedule. This is when I have my own private time to think. I'll give you an example. 11 o'clock at night, I don't think the Beis Medrash is rocking, correct? Maybe on a Thursday night. On a Tuesday night, is it rocking? No. I'm here on a Tuesday night. On a Sunday night, is it rocking? The answer is what? No. Sit in the Beis Medrash, 11 o'clock at night, pick whatever table you want, distance yourself from everybody, and sit down and actually think about who and what you are. Think about what you're doing. Think about what you should be doing. Think about what you can do. Think about where you should be. Think about why you're here. Think, 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 think. Every class you go to, think, 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 think. Every idea you hear, think. Do I want to integrate this into myself? Do I not? Is this part of my true self? Is it not? I said it earlier tonight. Does it resonate with my soul or does it not resonate with my soul, this idea? And then you try to figure out what your soul really is. Number two, get rid of your static. What is static? You know when you're on the radio? You know what a radio is, right? You still have those around? And all of a sudden you go someplace and you're out of range and it starts going like this. That's static, right? That's static. You're talking to your mom and it's starting to get a little bit annoying. You don't want to hang up and you don't want to get angry. And you're on the cell phone and they're 6,000 miles away and you're not FaceTiming. So you start to go like this. Mom, I can't. The connect. The Wi-Fi bad. Call you later. That's static, girls. Don't do that to your parents. It's not nice. Right? Get rid of the static in your life. It's taking you away from being you. What is that static? Oh, that static is too many things to even talk about. For some of you, it's the culture around you. You're stuck in a culture which basically is there to tell you what you should be and not let you be who you can be. For some of you, I'm going to put myself out on a limb. It's friends that you have that tell you what you should be and don't let you be who you should be. For some of you, it might be a significant other who basically defines your life and doesn't let you define your own life. It could be tons of things. Get rid of the static from your life. You want to be who you can be? Get rid of the static. Number three, learn Torah. Torah gives light. Light will guide you home. They will basically guide you to yourself. Learn Torah. You don't understand it now because you're just starting the process. But that Torah will open up your eyes to what you can be. It could be a Masechet Bava Kama. It could be a Nesiv Hashem. It could be Sefer Yirmiyahu. Learn it. It's light. It lightens up the world. Number four, don't be overwhelmed. God is patient. He's been around for an eternity. He'll be around for all eternity. He's got a lot of patience. Trust me. Sometimes I think Klal Yisrael would get wiped out if he didn't have the patience. Don't be overwhelmed. I'll give you an example. My Rosh Yeshiva said to the boys, before Yom Kippur, you're going to go and you're going to ask forgiveness for 80,000 things. Do you really think you're going to change 80,000 things? The answer is no, you're not going to. It's like New Year's resolutions that what? Go nowhere because you took too many. He said to us, do the following thing. Write down 5 things you want to change about yourself this year. 5 averis you don't want to do. 5 mitzvahs you want to accept upon yourself this year. And say to God the following thing. God, I know I need to do tshuva for all this. But it's too much. I can't. You know it's too much. This is what I want to commit to this year. And hopefully you let me live to 120. I'll correct it all. And this is my plan how I'm going to do it. Rameir said basically, just don't tell him you're going to do it. Show him how you're going to do it. Don't get overwhelmed. There's a lot to change. Don't get overwhelmed. Lot. Step by step. Number 5. Look at change not as a negative, but as a beautiful opportunity. It's a beautiful opportunity. Girls, what are the 2 happiest days of the year? Jewish calendar. Don't say Xmas and New Year's. What are the 2 happiest days in the entire year, girls? Tu B'Av and what? Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. Can you imagine Yom Kippur being the happiest day of the year? Well, if you're a depressed person like me, and the Shut Up Bet girls know this, what are my 2 happiest days? Tisha B'Av basically and Yom Kippur. But that's me. Hopefully one day I'll see somebody for it. But the reality is what? The reality is how can Yom Kippur be the happy day? You're doing tshuva all day. Al-chait. Because Chazal didn't see it as the chait. Chazal saw it as the opportunity. Chazal saw it as a way that you're now a Briya Chadasha, you're a new creation. And the world is open before you. And it's so happy that God gave you this day that now you can start new. If I look at my change, if I look at return, if I look at tshuva, that it's much easier. And my last thing, and this will take a minute or two, is that realize that a Kaddish Baruch Hu loves you. And this is something so important. For many people, Yom Kippur is that scary day because we look at God as a melech who wants to smash us. Girls, I'm telling you right now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you. He's waiting for you to come back. There's a famous idea. You were in shul, you didn't notice this because in Shalvin there's a bulletproof machitza. Basically, you couldn't see over it, around it, through it, under it. Basically, you would have to dig a tunnel under, like, you know, like escaping something. But you see it from your shuls. If you're there on time in Shacharit, what happens? All of a sudden, the guy says whatever he says at the end of Pesukei Dezimra, and the chazan from the middle of everybody starts going like this. I'm sorry for my voice. Starts going, ay, 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 ay. Ay, 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 Hamelech. Wait, he's here. Where should he be if he's davening? He should be there. Why is the Melech? Why am I saying Hamelech all the way over there? And it's symbolic of the idea that the Melech at this point in time is not in his throne room. Where is he? The Melech is Basadeh. The Melech is with you. The Melech came to see you. The Melech cares about you. Because the melech is not only a melech. The melech is an Abba. And every year I heard this story in Deal, and every year I'd say it over to my kids, I say it over at Shalvim, I say it over to people. What is it like? It's like the following. There's a kid who basically Nebuch got involved, good family got involved. Nebuch with some bad crowd, starts to go off derech a little bit, talk back, bad in school, all the stuff. Starts to get a little involved in alcohol, drink a little bit, starts to get a little involved in drugs, parents don't know what to do. They're beside themselves, they try, intervention, this, nothing works. Kid eventually starts to steal money from the parents. I actually know a family like this, Nebuch, you should never know. Son basically steals money from the parents. And what happens, at some point in time, the kid goes so off derech, he runs away. Can't take being in his house anymore. Runs away. The parents don't know what to do with themselves. They look, they hire investigators, they call the police, they can't find the kid. Years go by and the parents, if you know a parent and the parents in the room know this, you never recover from this. You go through life, you get back to life, but you never recover. Years later, 3:00 in the morning, the phone rings next to the father answers the phone, and what happens? On the other line, he hears the following. Abba, I want to come home. What happens at that point? The father doesn't say, you idiot, look what you did to our life. The father says, I hope you die. Father doesn't say, how can you do this to us? You know what the father says? The father says, let me know where you are. I'll be there in 15 minutes. I'll pick you up. Because no matter what the son does, what happens? Father always loves the son. No matter what a son does or a daughter does, the father always loves them, the mother always loves them. Girls, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Avinu Shebashamayim. He loves us. He's waiting for us. He's waiting for us to return to ourselves. He's waiting for us to become the people we should be. He's waiting for us to fulfill our potential. He's waiting for us to take his hand and do tshuva. Because he loves us, girls. So I'll end, and I'm sorry for taking so long, with a bracha. I don't have a right to give a bracha to anybody. Chazal say, Al tiyeh birchas hed yod kal beinecha. My bracha to you is the following. This year you do real tshuva. That you return really to who you should be and what you should be. That you find the beauty and potential that's within your soul. And that with that beauty and with that potential, you go out and you light the world with your neshamas.